Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My wife said to me, she goes, "Did you see the thread about Mitch's RPO?"
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Here until 9 o'clock, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. Let's talk some Bears. And joining us now on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline, Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is Kevin Fishbane from TheAthletic.com. And Kevin, what'd you learn about the Bears from what happened today at Halas Hall?
Well, we learned, Zach, that their best two defensive players didn't practice. And, you know, Matt Nagy didn't seem too concerned about Akeem Hicks, who is under the weather, not COVID-related, or Khalil Mack, who has back soreness. But, you know, look, whenever you have players like that who aren't practicing, you have a long flight to Los Angeles for a Monday night game, it's notable. We learned that they're going out there a day early, which is pretty typical when you're going to the West Coast. But you remember, you know, they can't go anywhere. So these guys are all going to be, you know, in their hotels for, you know, however long until it's time to go to the game. So that was kind of an interesting strategy move by Matt Nagy. And I imagine that's kind of a sleep thing for them too. They all have these numbers and these stats. It's all about, can you gain some kind of advantage? So that was the other thing we learned today. And the other thing too, Zach, which I think is going to be really important Monday night, is talking to the coordinators and talking to Pat O'Donnell, the punter. The Bears might have something with Cairo Santos. Obviously the 55-yard field goal is something the Bears as a franchise have just been looking for a kick like that for a long time. And I wonder, the way this team is currently structured, the way they're going to have to win games, if he can kind of turn out to be a weapon, especially Monday when you're facing a Los Angeles team that has some real kicker issues of their own.
That's the thing. You know, you go back to last year's game, the 17-7 Rams victory over the Bears in L.A. Remember, Mitchell Trubisky got hurt near the end of the game, wasn't out there for the final drive, and there were so many opportunities. The Bears ran 22 more plays than the Rams in that game, and yet ended up losing. They missed two field goals, turned it over on downs on another drive, and you'd like to think better quarterback heading into this game, better kicker heading into this game, that the Bears would have some sort of advantage that they didn't have a year ago.
Yeah, and I think that game was turned into a big benchmark for last year's team. That was in the middle of their drought on first drives, where they just didn't score on their opening drive for weeks, and that game seemed ended. They got in position, got stopped on third down. Here comes Eddie Pinheiro, and he missed. And that, you know, kind of turned the game. You had a Roquan Smith interception that should have kind of really turned the tide, and they couldn't take advantage. And what was interesting about that game is you go back and watch the first half. You know, Mitch Trubisky was making some nice throws. They were moving the ball, but just the story of last year, could not take advantage in the red zone, could not score points. It ended up being one of their worst, I think their worst game all year in terms of yards per play. But Zach, you know, we've spent so much time in the past, you know, however many days, talking about, you know, how real this 5-1 record is. Well, it's real. They are 5-1. The Rams are 4-2, and all four of their wins have come against the NFC East. I do think the Rams are a better team. But I think there are probably some people, as much as people are wondering, well, how good are this 5-1 Bears? I think you could look at the Rams and say, well, how good are they? And Sean McVay, as much as he's been done great things for that offense over the years since he's been there, And they have great weapons at wide receiver. Jared Goff's off to a nice start this year. They have not done well against this defense in the last two meetings.
Yeah, I would say that the 2018 meeting, the one at Soldier Field, I think that was the first time that you looked at that 2018 team and you said, whoa, some special things could be happening here, because that defense absolutely shut down the Sean McVay offense. That snapshot image that you have in your head of how explosive the Rams used to be offensively, they haven't been the same team on offense since that meeting in 2018. And if you go back, that was the blueprint that Bill Belichick ended up using. It was started by Vic Fangio, but Bill Belichick ended up using that similar blueprint in the Super Bowl to shut down that explosive offense. And they haven't looked the same on offense since. Yes, there are times where they look like the old school Rams when Sean McVay first got there, but they haven't been that bunch consistently.
No, they haven't. And you know, you go back to that game, Jared Goff threw four interceptions. Todd Gurley was completely bottled up. And, you know, I remember thinking, Zach, when the Bears played the Eagles in the playoffs, and if the Bears had won, they were going to head to L.A. I remember thinking, like, I know this Bears team hasn't been great on the road, but they can manhandle the Rams. I mean, I was thinking that a win over the Eagles and they would be able to not coast to the NFC title game, but they'd have a really good opportunity to beat the Rams. They just kind of had their number. And last year, you know, Rams only scored 17 points that game. I think Jared Goff threw it 18 times, did not throw a touchdown. You know, this year's team, they have a bit of a running back by committee situation. They really struggled against San Francisco last week. You know, I think Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp is a great receiving tandem. Really good route runners, sure-handed pass catchers. You know, Woods, they can both give you big 20, 30-yard plays. But what the Bears have done such a good job of, and I think the Carolina game was a great example, is, you know what, they're going to every once in a while give up a 20, 30-yard play. But when it comes time to stop a team in the red zone, when it matters most, no one in the league has been better than the Bears. And the Rams have not been that good in the red zone this year. So if you're expecting, like we should probably expect with a lot of Bears games this year, low scoring, you know, knockout, drag out kind of game, you know, you wonder how much that Bears red zone defense can kind of give them an edge.
Talking Bears with The Athletic's Kevin Fishbane here on 670 The Score. You know, you mentioned it earlier. You were talking about how the Rams' four wins have come against the NFC East. So when you take a closer look, it's not that impressive. And everyone keeps trying to figure out. I mean, we've had this conversation now. This is the seventh straight week that we're doing it, where how real are these Bears? You know, who are these guys? This is who they are. And I think outside of Seattle, clearly the best team in the conference, and you can make a case that maybe Seattle's the best team in the NFL so far this season. I don't think you look at the rest of the conference and say that the Bears can't be. I mean, they show they can beat Tampa Bay. Green Bay is not this invincible team. But after that group, you know, the Saints, they've dealt with some injuries. Who are these unbeatable teams that the Bears would be going up against that they can't beat? Now, the issue is the Bears, more so than those other teams. It's the Bears finding a way to take what statistically is one of the worst offenses in football and moving it up to merely average. It's amazing what average could do for this entire football team from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah, you know, this defense is so good, it keeps them in every game. And I think that teams that are built with a great offense and a very mediocre defense, I think it's harder for them to do that. I mean, go back to that 2013 Bears team, Zach, you know, and that was, what, the second highest scoring team in the league. And there were a couple of games that they were just, they lost by double digits. They were just out of because their defense couldn't stop the other team. And if they punted once or twice, that was it. But if you have a great defense, because you can take the ball away and keep a team out of the end zone, you can always keep your offense in it. And look, we saw in 2018, that was a very average, probably below average offense. And look, it was an extraordinary defense when it came to takeaways. And they went 12-4. And so that was kind of the thought last year, right, was that the offense was going to improve. The defense was going to, you know, not be as good, but still be one of the best. And they would continue this reign. And obviously the offense limited them. And I think the difference with this offense is, you know, figuring out ways to not turn the ball over, not wreck the game, not really put your defense in these bad spots. And that it's complementary football. You know, you go back to the Lovie Bears teams, and it's finding a way. You know, what one thing I noticed in that Carolina game too, Zach, is, you know, the Bears only had 2-3 and outs, and they weren't until the final two possessions of a game. Now that's a problem because you'd like to see this Bears team find a way to just put an opponent away. And they had two opportunities last week, and they couldn't just get one first down. But every drive leading up to there, they were able to get some first downs and take some time off the clock and win the field position battle. And I think that's what Nick Foles gives you a little bit, is that he can kind of understand the importance of moving the sticks, understand the importance of ball control and what this defense is. You know, you and I talked last week in terms of, you know, how can this offense get better? Where can it improve? And I think it was pretty disappointing, the performance they gave you against Carolina. I think that just kind of reinforced this idea that you talked about. This is who they are. There's going to be a game this year probably that the offense has, you know, everything clicks. And they'll score 30 points. Nick Foles will throw three touchdowns. And Dave Montgomery will run for 100 yards. But you just can't count on them to do that week in, week out. So the question is, can you find a way this week? Can you find a guy, whether it's an Allen Robinson or a Dave Montgomery, maybe Cole Kmet, you know, somebody who can just make a couple big plays for you that can be the difference in the football game. And I think the Rams defense is a good defense. And we know what Aaron Donald can do, we know what Jalen Ramsey can do in the back end. But we also saw what San Francisco, a team that had been really bad for a while this season, did to them last week. So, you know, there are ways you can score points in LA.
I'm just stunned that they haven't been able to have more success running the ball. Because I know the easy thing to do is to rant and rave about the offensive line. But I don't believe that the Bears' running problems are exclusively due to the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I had a lot of people, you know, venting on in the comments and on Twitter about, you know, the left guard situation. And look, when you have 7 carries for 13 yards against the 29th ranked run defense in the league, let me tell you, there is no way that is one person's fault. That is an organizational failure. That is from the head coach on down, from the play design to the cadence of calling runs. The blocking plays a role. The running plays a role. Everything. I mean, so many things have to work. And, you know, it seems like they were able to open some things up in the second half. You know, David Montgomery had a few more of those 5-plus runs. He had an 11-yard run in there. Bill Lazor said this morning that he thought he saw some progress in that second half. Now, can you bring that to Los Angeles? Because, look, the best way to control Aaron Donald is to run the ball, run it away from him. Don't let him wreck the quarterback because you're running the ball well. It's what they did 2 years ago. I mean, I went back, I forgot the Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. I mean, they went off for about 170 rushing yards combined in that game with a James Daniel and a Brian Witzman on that offensive line. So, you know,
I'm glad
you
mentioned that because that's the thing, though. We're not when people keep mentioning that the Bears' offensive line is not good, listen to the names that you just mentioned that were blocking for Jordan Howard that day. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
And we saw Andy Reid in a driving rainstorm in Buffalo on Monday, a guy that has arguably the best quarterback, the best tight end, the best speed threat in the game on offense, say, you know what? We are going to play physical, not flashy. And they ran the ball 46 times for 245 yards. So it can be done in this offense. I just can't understand why it's been so difficult the last 2 years to put together a consistent running game, just to balance things out and make a defense think a little bit.
Yeah, and I think what they also have to figure out is, why is Nick Foles under center not getting, I shouldn't put it on Nick Foles. Why is Dave Montgomery not having more successful runs when Nick Foles is under center than when Mitch Trubisky was under center? Now, obviously, they played some different defenses in there, but that was something that was working. The offensive linemen seemed to enjoy that. Dave Montgomery seemed to run better in those kind of scenarios. You know, why is that not working now? That's something that you would think that they would be looking at this week. You know, and even still, Dave Montgomery should be able to run from any type of formation. Why isn't it working? And I do think that in the second half, you started to see a better commitment. I was actually surprised, Zach, by the end of the game, Dave Montgomery did end up with a season high in carries. What I was surprised about, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson's this whole idea is something they were really excited about. He had only one carry. You know, does Lamar Miller get called up this week? Is he healthy enough? Does he give you that other option? Because maybe it's just the fact that they just don't want to give the same guy all these carries. Well, you have other players. You could try other things out with Cordarrelle Patterson. You could try Nartavis Pierce. You know, get Lamar Miller to a point where he can help you out. But I do think there are options there. And look, you know, the beauty of being 5-1 and having a bad offense is you can just kind of open things up and try new things because you have some cushion. You have some room right now. You are in very good shape to make the playoffs. So you can. It's much easier to fix things right now. And I think that you have to keep trying things in this run game because your pass game just isn't efficient. And it probably isn't going to be that great the whole season. But the run game is something that there is potential there because the thing about Dave Montgomery, he finishes his runs. He can get you an extra 2 to 3 yards if with a full head of steam if you get him going downhill. And it's just trying to find those holes, find those play designs that work for him to get him going and get him in a rhythm.
There are times where I feel like if there was a head coach who could talk to the play caller, sometimes to remind the play caller, maybe we need to run the ball just a little bit more to balance things out. And that's sometimes the problem. I saw it during the Tressman era, and I'm not calling Matt Nagy Mark Tressman, but there were times where the game plan was to run the ball more during the Tressman era, but because he was also the play caller, there was no one who had the brassos, if you will, to get to the head coach and tell him, hey, as a play caller, you got to start doing a little bit more of this to balance it out. And maybe that's something that the Bears need to consider, where if you had a different head coach and separated him from the play caller, they would say, you know what? This is probably a smart idea where you allow someone else on the team to call the plays. Matt Nagy could still have his input, but you see the game from a different vantage point when you're not as involved on an every single play basis in terms of making the call, where sometimes you don't have that reminder from the head coach that you normally would get, say, if that was a defensive-oriented guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, and I should start this out too. And Zach, you know this as well. You know, Matt Nagy's not giving up play calling, right? He's just not going to do it. And I thought that when he talked to us at the combine and explained the reasoning in bringing in a Bill Lazor and a Juan Castillo, that he kind of showed some humility. He admitted that it was tough, but he was letting people in to critique him. He was letting people in kind of help open his eyes. He wanted people from, you know, someone like Juan Castillo who knows how the offense should be run and someone like Bill Lazor who has his own experience. He wanted some outside, you know, perspectives in this. And the question that we don't ever get to know the answer to is, well, what is this? What's their influence during a game week, right? You know, what is Bill Lazor saying in Matt Nagy's ear on a game day? What is the conversations during the week about some of their plays and some of their plans and some of their ideas? And, you know, I wonder if last year's maybe stubbornness and challenges make it so this year Matt Nagy's more open to those conversations with these guys that he brought in. You know, he hired these people to help him out to make this offense better. Right now this offense is not better. And that's just something that they have to work through. But the thing is I always go back to that Chargers game, Zach, last year. And Matt Nagy decided to throw out his playbook. He said, we're going I formation. We're going extra tackle. We're going to run it 35 times. And it worked really well. But the problem was you had a missed open guy that Mitch Trubisky missed a wide open deep ball. He had an interception. They were terrible in the red zone. And Eddie Pinheiro missed a game-winning field goal. And all of those things kind of rendered everything else they did in that game to be a bit of a moot point. And I always think about that game to think, okay, Matt Nagy has the capability to do this. It's not his MO, but if he wants to, he can. And I just wonder if that game just ruined him a little bit, that he just doesn't want to go back to that.
That's a great point, Kev. And the thing that I look at is you have a better quarterback this year, a better kicker this year. You have three better tight ends than you had last season. You have a speed threat opposite Allen Robinson. I mean, there's more weaponry at your disposal this year trust the people that you have on your roster. Our final few moments here with the Athletics' Kevin Fishbane, and something that you and your buddy Adam Johns put together that I found very interesting. You evaluated 16 trade proposals from Bears fans. 16. Which one was the most interesting one for you?
Well, first of all, Zach, this is a pro tip to all the young journalists listening. You can ask your readers to do the research for you. It makes things a little bit easier. So we let the fans come up with the trade proposals. You know, the one, I'll throw this one out there because the reason it was actually, this is cheating a little bit because our Texans writer who came up with this, which is Duke Johnson, Texans running back, to the Bears for a late round pick. And we talk about the running game, right? We talk about right now, they don't really have anybody they can trust for more than a few carries a game except for David Montgomery. And if you don't want to continue waiting on Lamar Miller, is Duke Johnson somebody who just gives you a different element? He was not really being used in Houston, and who knows what is going on with the Texans. Maybe they're trying to get some draft picks for the future. Is that someone that helps you out? I thought that was kind of an interesting proposal, just, you know, and again, so much of this depends on the Lamar Miller factor. But that one was interesting. A lot of people want a new left guard, and I get it. It's hard to bring in an offensive lineman in the middle of the season and teach him all your blocking techniques. And as we said, Zach, this running game issue goes far beyond the left guard. Unless you're talking about like a Joe Thunney from New England, or you're talking about a Brandon. Again, pipe dream type guys. I'm not sure if that's really going to bring the relief that people think it would to this offensive line.
I think the answers are on the team. It's a matter of being able to trust the guys that you have on your roster to make the plays. Again, you're not trying to take this offense and turn it into the Chiefs. You're trying to take this offense, which is ranked near the bottom in all the major categories, and just make it average enough to complement a defense that's been really good and can be even better with some help from the Bears offense.
Yeah, and as I said, you might have your kicker. And your punter's been punting well. Your special teams coverage has been doing a little better. You have all these little parts that are making it work. And it goes back to the defense, Zach. They were never no defense is going to put up the takeaways that 2018 did. Okay, that was unique. But this defense is playing with a worse offense and doing better in the red zone and not getting the sacks like that team did too, and still keeping teams from scoring touchdowns. I think this defense in weird ways is showing some things that are better than that defense. And then if you can have the kicker, if you have the quarterback that knows not to throw the football to the other team and does a good job of it, then you can turn this 5-1 record and say, hey, this is real, and keep going and keep winning more games.
I could spend the entire hour talking Bears with you. Great stuff. Kevin, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Kevin Fishbane, who covers the Bears for TheAthletic.com, sharing his knowledge here on the show. When we come back, 312-644-6767. Who scares you in the NFC? Take Seattle out of the mix. Who can't the Bears beat? Why are we looking at this team trying to figure out if they're real or not real and just not seeing it from the standpoint that this is who they are? What can they do being who they are? Your phone calls next. Zach Zaidman with you until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We hear a lot of things about us being the worst 5-1 team and, you know, this and that. But I think that it's just an opportunity for us to go out there and show that, you know, we belong where we are. And it's a reason that we won 5 games. It's not just by luck.
Where do you hear that you're the worst 5-1 team?
Oh, man, it's all over. You know, you've been seeing it all over the internet. You know, you see, I watch get up, you know, Good Morning Football and stuff like that, man. I think that we are the most talked about 5-1 team, man. I don't think that people truly give us our respect, man. You look at these power rankings and, you know, you're taught not to pay attention to those things. And obviously we don't care, but, you know, we hear it. And so, you know, at the end of the day, man, 5 wins is 5 wins, man. I'd rather be sitting at being the best 5-1 team than being the best 1-5 team.
Totally agree with Deshaun Gibson, the Bears safety. Zach Zaidman with you here until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And do you have to ask him, where do you hear that? Go to NFL.com. Quote, do you respect the Bears yet? With games against the Rams, Saints, and Titans on tap, 12-4 combined record, further clarity should be on the way. Look at CBS Sports writing, quote, not saying that I'm not sure the Bears are that good, but they've earned the right to be there. They were ranked number 6 in their power rankings this week. It's okay to not be sure what the Bears are capable of doing because you look at their offense. But I don't blame any player on the Bears' defense for feeling like they're legit, because that defense is legit. Ranked 7th in the National Football League. But in my opinion, and I wonder what you guys think, 312-644-6767, I think they're better than that. And I think the only reason they're not ranked better than that is because the offense is statistically near the bottom in just about every major category. And if that offense was merely average, the Bears would be a scary team in terms of the entire NFC. Seattle is the best team in the conference. After that, I feel like everything is up for grabs. Tampa Bay has a quarterback in Tom Brady and a great offense and a really good defense as well. New Orleans is dangerous when healthy. Green Bay is dangerous because those teams have the quarterbacks. But if we learned anything last year, you can win and go far in the playoffs even if you don't have the elite quarterback. San Francisco proved it. Tennessee proved it. It's time for the Bears to prove it. But in order to do it, they just have to be average and just be consistently better at sustaining drives. And I don't understand why the Bears have been as bad as they've been offensively, considering the investment in the offense during the offseason. New quarterback, veteran offensive assistants that understand the offense the Bears are trying to run. 3 tight ends that weren't here last year that should be major factors in the kind of offense the Bears run. And a speed threat opposite Allen Robinson in Mooney, who has shown that he can play this game at a high level. I don't understand why they're ranked near the bottom in all the major offensive categories, given what I just said. 312-644-6767. Out to the phones we go. Vince in Melrose Park, you are on the Score. Hi, Vince.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
What's up?
So I think, first of all, in terms of a team that the Bears need to beat, it is for sure the Green Bay Packers. Outside of the fact that just over the last 10 years, they have been, you know, a thorn in the Bears' side just traditionally, I think that beating Aaron Rodgers, it would be a big just psychological accomplishment for the Bears, especially Matt Nagy and the guys on the defense. That way, you know, the nation will really recognize, especially in prime time, that, you know, the Bears are here to stay. So, you know, the New Orleans, I feel like the Bears are, that's a toss-up way more than the Green Bay Packers. They really need to beat that team in order to be considered a legit top 5 team without so many, you know, so many caveats to them. And then outside of that, I think that the offense is underperforming. Really, it feels like it is the play calling. You know, I'm sure there's bigger plays that happen that people can point to, but sometimes it is those, like, second down plays where, okay, this is an obvious this play, and then Matt Nagy will call, you know, some bubble screen that ends up not working out. And so I think that that is the reason why, you know, I think you mentioned cadence earlier. That's the reason why the Bears' offense is not where it should be, is because he doesn't call the right plays at the right time. Then he does this random cute play. And I think that, you know, there's no momentum with the Bears offense, and you're always hoping for some guy to make a play or Allen Robinson to make a play. And, you know, they're just so inconsistent that you don't know where to put them as a team, because on one end they're dominant and on the other end they're, you know, a big question mark. So I think that they got a kind of a ways to go on offense, but until they beat the Packers, you know, they'll always be outside of the top 5.
Vince, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I think there's a lot of truth in what you're saying in terms of establishing a rhythm offensively. And, you know, some of that is the play calling. I don't think it's just one thing that's holding the Bears back, but I think it's a bunch of things that are all related. It starts with play calling. I think the play calling can help get you into a rhythm. I think that you need better quarterback play. I think you have a better quarterback now than you did at the start of the season. I think you have more weapons than you had last year. So there's an opportunity there to get better. I just think you have to remember what you are. You know, there's so much talk about if the Bears are for real. I think it's most important for the Bears head coach slash play caller on offense to understand this is what the Bears are. They are a team that has a really good defense that can be even better, a team that can use special teams because there's some explosive players in that phase. Use the offense to make those other two phases better. You don't have to be elite. You don't have to do the kinds of things that Matt Nagy was used to in Kansas City. Average can make the Bears great. Think about that. Most of us that have watched the Bears over the years, no matter what era, how many times have you watched a terrific Bears defense be squandered because of an awful offense? I don't think this offense is awful. I think it's been awful. It's been ranked near the bottom in every major statistical category. But I think it's capable of being average to help make the team overall great. 312-644-6767. Matt in Geneva, you are on the score. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going? Listen, so I really think like the two teams that are going to give the Bears the biggest problem are actually Tampa Bay and New Orleans. And I know we already faced Tampa Bay, but they just got Antonio Brown, and I really feel like the Bears defense, which, by the way, I think is right now better than the 2018 defense, I really think that they haven't faced a true number one NFL wide receiver yet. Mike Evans was hurt, and I think the defense is still, you know, kind of dealing with some issues on the run. And then in terms of the offense, I really think that I was reading on NFL.com today that Nick Foles really wants to run a no-huddle offense, because I noticed when he gets into this this rhythm and he keeps throwing these darts down the field, we keep moving the chains and moving the chains, and then we score touchdowns. But when Nagy wants to send different personnel in, and it kind of stops the rhythm of the offense that Foles is running, we kind of get bogged down, and then drives start stalling, and then there's problems with chemistry, I think, with receivers that Foles hasn't really gotten to yet. And then, obviously, we got to run the ball some more. We really do. I think David Montgomery got going a little bit last week, but we really need to set the tone with that, because otherwise we're not going to be, you know, rolling the top off of a defense anytime soon. So, I really think Bears fans, we got to enjoy this 5-1 right now, but we got to beat these couple teams that we got coming up to really be legit. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Matt. I'm not into this legit. You're not legit. The Bears are legit because their defense gives them an opportunity to win every single game they're in. Every single one. They've shown the ability to find a way to win the tight games. What I'd like to see, and, you know, the explosive plays are lacking from an offensive standpoint. I think in large part because there isn't any rhythm to the offense. I think that the way you get explosive plays in the NFL is not just by throwing it over the top like the old Raiders. It's about giving your receivers and tight ends an opportunity to make a catch in space and turn and run. It's the yards after the catch. And if you notice, the Bears' best offensive player is by far and away Allen Robinson. But generally, when the ball is thrown his way, he doesn't get an opportunity for yards after the catch because the throw isn't completely accurate. It's, you know, they don't run those crossing patterns where you get the ball to a receiver where he can just make the catch in stride and keep going. Those are things, and it takes time to develop. I think that's what Nick Foles was referring to this week when he said that, you know, this is just phase one of the offense, and you have to learn how to trust the people around you because everything is new. You're playing with new guys in new roles. And, yeah, that's true. That's where I think the play calling could help a little bit. You need to have a little bit more balance. But again, we're not asking this team to go from where they are right now to scoring 30 points a game. Just the average. You're 27th now in the rankings. Can you go from 27 to, say, 16 or 15? Is that too much to ask, considering the investment in this offense last offseason? I don't think it is. Because if you're able to make that jump, this defense becomes even better than it is. And those explosive plays that I talked about that are missing offensively, that defense will start making more explosive plays. And then look out. Then this team can be, whew, something. 312-644-6767. Zach Zaidman with you until 9 on the score.
Yeah, I mean, each team's different. It's really just finding out who you want to be and what personnels you want to live in. And that's really what we're in the process in now, is figuring out what we want to live in, who we want to be. And we're figuring it out. It's not like we're starting from ground zero. We're figuring it out. And the good thing is we found ways to win games. So we'll just continue to go through this one day at a time and figure out who we want to be. And once again, each team that I've been on has been different, though. It's just, who will the Chicago Bears offense identity be?
Bears quarterback Nick Foles and company heading to Los Angeles tomorrow. They'll play the Rams, who are 4-2 on Monday Night Football. Zach Zaidman with you until 9 o'clock. Is it too much for the Bears offense to be average in order to complement the Bears defense and make the team significantly better than it already is? And that's a team that's 5-1. If the defense is fresher, you'll get more takeaways, which are explosive plays to help the offense out. That's where you can establish the kind of identity you need to play the complementary football that you need to be a factor when all is said and done by the end of the season. You don't need to have an elite quarterback in order to go deep in the playoffs. Tennessee proved that last year in the AFC. San Francisco proved it in the NFC. I mean, obviously, everyone wants the elite quarterback, and the Bears screwed up royally when they had an opportunity to get one in 2017. But they did screw up. They didn't get it done. You can't go back in time. So now going forward, how do you make the best of what you've got? Well, the best of what you've got is to take an offense that has been ranked near the bottom of the league this season in every major statistical category and become average on offense to complement defense and special teams. You do that, look out. Bears will be something. And they already are something with the wonderful 5-1 start that they've had. There are a few major sports stories that we're keeping an eye on tonight. Game 3 of the World Series, Dodgers on top of the Rays, 5-0 in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Dodgers starter Walker Buehler had a no-hitter for the first 4 1/3 before giving up a double to Manuel Margot. Again, they're in the bottom of the fifth inning with the Dodgers on top of the Rays, 5-0. Justin Turner with a home run for L.A. Big Ten football has officially kicked off. Third quarter, 14th-ranked Wisconsin all over Lovie Smith and the Illini, 28-7. And in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have reportedly reached a deal with wide receiver Antonio Brown. Remember, he had a brief time with Tom Brady in New England in training camp for about 2 weeks after he was waived by the Raiders. He's been out of football. Last full season for Antonio Brown, 2018. So yeah, the Buccaneers, with Antonio Brown added to a mix of already some terrific wide receivers, including Mike Evans, and you've got Rob Gronkowski at tight end, and a really good defense there to complement Tom Brady. They could be a major factor before all is said and done. Again, it's easier when you have the elite quarterback. You see it in Seattle. You see it in Green Bay. You see it in New Orleans. But there's no reason, now that the Bears are off to their 5-1 start, if they can improve just a little bit offensively, you're talking about a very scary team, because the Bears are one of the few teams in the NFL that don't have to blitz to attack the quarterback. And when you can do that, you can be a very special team. Got a lot of people to thank for making tonight's show possible. We'll start with our executive producer, Mike Rankin, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio. A lot of people came on, including Tom Thayer to talk Bears in the 6 o'clock hour, Jim DeShace to talk some baseball in the 7 o'clock hour, Corey Provis from the Big Ten Network joined us to talk some college football, and Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic added his thoughts as the Bears get set to play the Rams on Monday night. I think the Bears can win. I think they played the Rams tight the last 2 years. The offense had some major issues last year in their visit to Los Angeles, but you've got a better quarterback and a better kicker, and I think that'll lead to a better result for the Bears on Monday night. Thanks so much for listening. Please have a safe and healthy weekend. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I haven't heard any of that. I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
All right. Well, see you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.